Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot. Cannot. Welcome to our program tonight. David G. Hall, who is the Vice President of Syndication, has been a frequent contributor on our program, is going to join us, and we're going to talk about a rant that I did on the air a few weeks back that was replayed this evening here on Phil TV in HD on our pre-show. For those of you who are listening to our broadcast, we're so grateful to have you. If you'd like to join us for a little bit more than just the radio broadcast, we do have a Phil TV in HD pre-show. We do a little bit of a post-show sometimes, and you can watch and sort of join that larger part of the show over at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. But as we kicked off the feed tonight, there was this rant that I had done, and it had been posted by a listener over on Facebook, and I thought, well, I don't know what this is, but let's play it. What the hell? You know, I mean, usually there's music that's being played. Bud, you throw in some of your favorite crap to play, and, you know.
Yeah, sometimes I played that one song, though, Harold Melvin, the Blue Note. That sucked.
Never mind. So in any event, the rant got the attention of Mr. Hall, and it will be interesting when we get David on here in just a second to listen to his views on my views. And basically, my views were decidedly, I would have to say they are, it's what I've been talking an awful lot about here on the show. I try to marry the environment of broadcasting, the industry of broadcasting, which is what I work in. I try to marry that experience with what you guys are dealing with in your lives, because I don't think there's a whole lot different. I think all the industries that we all work in have a couple of things going wrong with them. One of them is a leadership crisis. We don't have the captains of industry that we used to have. Obviously, another has to do with the actual execution, and there are many levels of that. There is the actual performance of the job at hand. There are the people that go out and then sell what you make, or at least try to contact the public and make them aware of what you do, and there's the competition from overseas, and these are things that are beyond the scope of what you and I do as just the worker bees. So we'll talk with David here about that in just a moment. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and we're online at philhendryshow.com. So if you want a backstage pass and check out even more of our show, please do join us over there. We're giving away a free backstage pass for each and every month, and we're giving away a free one for the month of February, a free one, backstage pass. So all you have to do to register for a chance is go over to our fan page at Facebook. That's facebook.com/PhilHendryFans, P-H-A-N-S, and like the page. You are registered to for the drawing. Or if you've already done that, you can go to Twitter and go to the show page, which is twitter.com/PhilHendryShow, and hashtag the name Phil Hendry. H-E-N-D-R-I-E is how you spell my last name. That's how my grandfather spelled it when he got off the boat, not at Ellis Island.
In Canada.
In Montreal, Canada, exactly. All right. 877-876-PHIL, and on the line with us from Pasadena tonight is David G. Hall, who is our Vice President of Syndication. David, good evening to you.
Good evening, Phil.
I take it that you took exception to the the rant, and that it was something that you said you wanted to talk about in private. I said I wouldn't mind talking about it on the air.
All right. Well, and I want your audience to know that that's what you said, that you don't mind talking about it on the air.
And well, I don't, because it has to do with something I said on the air.
All right, that's fair enough. But I want to let the audience know that I'm going to be candid.
Okay, as I will be.
Well, I don't know how candid you can be, Phil, when I'm coming from a position of directing you as to what it is you can or can't do on the air.
I can still be candid with my opinion.
You can be candid with your opinion, but it's not going to be a tug of war. I have to tell you some things. The rant that you did that was aired and then repeated during your Phil TV pre-show was one that we've heard before. It was one that took to task the broadcasting, the situation in broadcasting whereby a great many people who are on the air are used for more than one thing. And as the result of that, you feel they are being exploited.
That's true.
That is true.
That is true, yeah. Can I tell people what we're talking about?
Well, I think they already heard.
No, they didn't. There's a lot of people who didn't. When I did that rant, it was late in the show.
Well, see, what you're doing now is you're trying to make your argument again.
No, I'm not. I just want to let people know when I say they're exploited, I'm just saying that there's people on the air doing a radio show, then they're asked to voice track, then they're asked to do a lot of different things for not just one station, but a lot of different stations, and they're getting paid basically the same amount of money.
All right, so in other words, what you just did there is you made your argument, even though you were trying to get permission from me. And
well, I asked if I could, and I just made it as quickly as I could.
All right, well, I don't think that what you say about this issue, Phil, is as germane or as important as you want it to be. I have to tell you that people are more interested in their lives, and they're more interested in what's going on with their lives. And what you're saying about broadcasters, I think, probably offends people because you guys make a lot of money.
Well, hold on for just a second here.
Well, no. You guys make a lot of money.
No, not everybody makes a lot of money.
You guys, you're telling me you don't make a lot of money?
I'm not talking about me right now. I'm talking about everybody. I'm talking about that 99% of the people in broadcast, especially at the local level, they don't make a lot of money at all. And when you use them for...
Well, here you go making your argument again. I'm here to tell you that what you said on the air was very destructive. And you talking about yourself... And
I wasn't. What I talked about on that podcast was, yeah, I think I'm underpaid here in the radio world, but I'm not underpaid because there's a whole other area that I exploit, and that is called the internet. And the internet, thank God, is a place that the broadcasting world can't reach out and get a hold of me in. Okay, I can do my thing over there, I can make a living over there, and they can't do anything.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. It's very, I think that when you say that, you're saying it like you're almost a child saying, you know how kids are, they're going, yeah, 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 that you can't catch me. And
no, I'm not saying, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm saying, more than anything else, I'm saying thank God that that environment exists. But not everybody is... in my situation, not, you know, I've got a lot of years in, and I know a little bit of what I'm doing, and I've got a lot of material, and...
Yeah, and I also took note of the fact that you've been to some industry functions, and you have talked to a lot of young broadcasters, and you have, I guess, encouraged them to seek ownership of their material. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, you realize how destructive that is. And
no, that's not destructive at all. That's me going to a...
Yes, it is destructive because you're talking to young people who are going to go back to the company they're working for and go in and start demanding the rights to something that really isn't theirs to demand. You don't know what kind of contract they have. And
well, I'm not telling them to go back right that second and start making a problem.
Phil, here's what I'm saying. You know, you're talking like people care what you think. People want you to entertain them. But nobody cares what you think.
David.
Whoa, hold on. Hold on. Are you listening to me?
I am listening to you.
All right. No one cares what you think. Okay? Okay?
I disagree.
How can you disagree with that? Nobody cares what you think. People obviously are going to make up their own minds about things. You've got an opinion. People want you to entertain them. And you telling them what you think about the radio business, they don't care. They don't care about you. They don't care about your opinion on the radio business. There's only one thing they care about. And that's you sitting down at night on your radio show, entertaining them. Now, it's unfortunate that I've got to come on the show and give you the facts of life, if you will. It's unfortunate that I've got to come on here and explain to you that your work environment and the broadcast work environment may be difficult for some broadcasters, no one cares. And they don't care about you. You are, let me tell you something. You were on the air not too long ago on the anniversary of your father's death. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
I don't mean any disrespect, Phil. I do not mean... But you did this long thing about your father dying. No one cares.
No one cares, huh?
Not about your father being dead for 25 years.
It wasn't about that. It was about me observing that, and it was about me...
Well, hold on. You're not listening to me. You're talking again. Nobody cares about you and your tribute. Yes, we appreciate the fact you love your father, Phil. But you with your opinions about the broadcasting business or your father dying, no one could give two hoots. You understand? You don't get it, do you?
Well...
No one cares, Phil. No one cares about you. Excuse me for saying this, Phil. Your dead dad. Your opinions about the broadcasting business. None of it. They want you to entertain them. And when you don't, they could care less about your life and what you think is going wrong with it. Huh? Give me a vanilla. I got my daughter with me.
All right.
And I'm wasting time talking to you about your life. I'm enjoying time with my family. No one gives, excuse my language, Phil, nobody gives a damn whether you live or die. Let me put it as succinctly as I can.
I was just giving an opinion, okay?
I know that, but are you hearing me?
Yes, I am.
Okay. No one cares whether you live or whether you die, whether you get up tomorrow morning, or whether they find you dead and cold. No one cares.
My family.
Besides your family, everybody's family cares. I mean, out here in the world, the radio world, the broadcast world, no one cares. If you don't show up for work, yeah, they'll say, wow, where's Phil? He's dead. Well, we put another host in your chair, and we move on.
That's what you do.
That's what I... Yes! What do you think I am? No, I wouldn't, Phil. I'd shut the whole operation down. The entire world of broadcasting would shut down. You gotta get with it. And I find that you have not really embraced the reality here. You got opinions about a lot of things, but really, at the end of the day, no one cares whether you're walking around or whether you're laying in an alley somewhere for days. Days until they find you. You understand me?
Yeah.
Now go to your break.
Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Talking with David G. Hall, who is our Vice President of Syndication, about a broadcasting rant that I did at the beginning of our Phil TV broadcast. We'll be right back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And, of course, we're online at philhendryshow.com. On the line with me is David G. Hall, the Vice President of Syndication for our radio show. And the comments that you made before the break, obviously, were not very easy to hear.
Well, I'm sorry for that, but I'm giving you the reality.
Well, we have people that want to talk on the air. What do we do?
I'm happy to take their phone calls, but understand... understand something. People are going to call in and defend you because that's the nature. People want to be sympathetic. And they want to, make maybe you feel better. But the reality is what I deal in. I don't deal in the touchy-feely feel, Mr. Feel-Good. You ever heard that song by What's the guy, Motley Crue, Dr. Feelgood?
Well, there's been a number of Dr. Feelgood songs.
Well, the Motley Crue one.
Yes.
All right. I'm not here with Mr. Feel, Captain Feelgood or whatever the song was.
And it was Dr. Feelgood.
All right. But do you understand what I'm saying?
You're not here to...
I'm not here to make you feel better. I'm here to tell the truth. The people want to call in and say, as was indicated to me, they're going to call in and support you. They're saying that just to be nice. But look, I'm not saying that people don't care about you, Phil. I'm saying the radio listeners and the broadcasting industry, the cold reality, and the sooner you get this, the better off you're going to be. And the sooner anybody in radio gets this, the better off they're going to be. No one cares whether you are walking around and breathing or whether you are rotting in a box someplace. And, Phil, I hate to put it that way, but if you've ever seen these shows about serial murderers and they find the serial murderer's victim rotting in a box in a basement, if you were in that box, people couldn't care less. They wouldn't even break a sweat. I know it comes as very difficult news.
Well, it's, it devalues.
No, it doesn't devalue anything. It just, you get in, you entertain people, then you go home. And once you're off the air, they don't care whether you're in an automobile accident that throws you through a windshield and into a puddle of flaming fuel where you die. It doesn't matter to them. It doesn't matter to them because their lives are far more important. Now, let's take a phone call.
Okay.
Which one?
We're going to go to a guy named Charles on line 6. Here is Charles. You're on the Phil Henry Show with David G. Hall. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. I disagree with Mr. Hall. You entertain me. That's true. But even though I've never met you, I would take it very personally. I would be very devastated if anything were to happen to you.
Well, this is David Hall. Your name is Charles, sir?
Yes.
Yeah. You realize that Phil and I are in the business of, and I hate to put it this way, but we really are in the business of BS. So we know BS when we hear it.
No, we're not. I disagree with that.
Would you hold on, Phil, because I'm not talking to you right now. I'm talking to a man by the name of Charles. You understand, Charles, that we're in the business of BS. So when we hear it, we know it. I know you're a good guy. I know that you love your family. I know that you love your friends. Yeah. And I know you want Phil to feel better. I know you wanted to feel better in this moment, in this instant. But in the overall, you know and I know, Charles, you don't care whether Phil Henry tomorrow is put in cement by some bookies he owes money to and dropped to the bottom of the sea.
I don't owe money to bookies.
Hold on. I know you don't. Just hold on.
I disagree with you, Mr. Hall. I really don't care
about
him.
That's like a guy saying to a girl that he wants to sleep with, I really do care about you. You know what that is worth?
I have nothing to gain by BSing him.
Yeah, you do. You think maybe you could be friends with him and stuff like that.
Oh, man, this is embarrassing.
Well, huh?
I'll never meet him.
A lot of people want
to know him.
A lot of people want to hang out with the radio guy.
You know something, David?
Will you hold on, please? But I understand. I understand you want him to feel better, but I know my business. And even I have a hard time separating my business from reality. Sometimes I will think, I don't care whether Phil lives or dies. I have business to do. I've got a family to feed. If there's a guy that I could put in Phil's slot that makes more money, then I almost want Phil to die. I would never really say that.
Thank you very much for that.
You know, if you keep on butting in, I can't get out what it is I want to say.
When you're talking about me dying?
Am I allowed to have my opinion?
Yes, you are, but when you tell my audience, that you don't care whether I die or not.
I said there are days.
Mr. Hall.
Now I
Mr.
hear the
Hall.
Music.
Mr. Hall,
yes,
you don't have an audience. Phil Henry has an audience.
I got you as an audience right now, and you're hearing me.
Because of Phil.
And you're... Well, that's bull crap.
I got to take a break.
Take the break and get rid of this guy.
No, I'm not going to get rid of him. I will thank him very much for calling. Charles, thank you for calling. Sure, I appreciate it very much. 877-876-PHIL.
Did he say you're welcome?
No.
There, that's exactly what I'm saying. Once he was done with his call, he doesn't care whether you sit there or you spontaneously combust.
Phil. 877-8... No.
877-876-PHIL. Give the number.
It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and welcome back as we talk with David G. Hall, who's the Vice President of Syndication for our radio show. We're talking about a rant that I did at the beginning of, actually did it the final hour of a show a couple of weeks ago. We replayed it during the opening of our video cast tonight on Phil TV and HD, and it was me sounding on the broadcasting industry. I was saying that there's more money to be made out in the internet world than there is in radio now. I said that there is more money to be made working for yourself than there is working for a company, you know, there's a lot of people that are being exploited.
You said that there's a lot of young talent in radio that's being used for more than one thing, and you were quite critical. And I had to come on here, Phil, and make a comment because I don't want you to get so far ahead of yourself that you think that what you say, you don't think that what you say is going to change anything, do you?
No.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. You said no?
No, I don't think it will.
You don't think it will? So why are you talking about it?
Because it's, I think it's compelling.
Oh, you think it's compelling? You think it's compelling? I just got done telling you that the audience doesn't care whether you are alive or whether you are rotting someplace, and you think that what you've got to say is compelling.
I think the reason why they listen to me, however many of them that there are that listen to me, is because I may be interesting. You know.
Well, yeah, interesting's one thing, compelling something else. But talking about your work situation. But the bottom line that I'm making here, and I want everybody to listen to me, so there's no mistaking, that the audience, you know Oprah Winfrey? You want to know why Oprah, our research has found, do you know why Oprah Winfrey had as many women watching her from day in and day out? Year in and year out, do you know why that woman was successful?
I do.
No, you don't, because I know what you're going to say, because women found her interesting and informative.
That, well, yeah.
No, it's because women tuned in every day waiting for that moment when Oprah Winfrey would show such weakness that her entire life collapses before their eyes so that they could feel better than her. They would feel they're better than her.
And people watch Oprah Winfrey every day to watch her fail.
Yes, yes, yes.
I don't believe it.
I don't care what you believe. This is my business. Women tuned in every night to watch Oprah Winfrey, every afternoon or whatever it was, waiting for her to completely lose it, waiting for her to vomit, waiting for her to suddenly gag and drop dead, waiting for her to say the F word a billion times and have a nervous breakdown, waiting for her to assault somebody. That's what they were waiting for.
And so even today...
I don't know about today. I'm saying during the height of her TV show. Then after a while, it became obvious Oprah Winfrey was here to stay. But the beginning of her career, women wanted to see her. I think they would have been delighted had she collapsed and died from a coronary right on camera. So, Phil, if you want to get right down to it, you're more valuable to me dead than you are alive. Because if you die on the air, that is worth ratings points. That's the reality.
What about guys like Howard Stern?
Same thing. Same thing. People listen to Howard Stern. They like him. But they're waiting for him to do something so bad, they'll never let him in. They won't let him in the door of a penny arcade. They won't let him in the door of a place that sells Mr. Microphones. They won't let them into a place that sells loudspeakers. Anywhere where you can project yourself, they're waiting for him to mess up too, just like you. But please don't tell me my business, because I know my business. And my business is making sure that these people out here, you know, listen, but they got to be honest. And honesty is, don't tell me you like Phil Hendry, because I know you don't care whether Phil Hendry sits down behind a microphone at night or a baboon. Doesn't matter to you, as long as it's something they can listen to.
A baboon, huh?
That's right. Because if the baboon's good, you think they want you back? Get a call up. Hey.
Yeah, yes.
Get a phone call.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Now let's go to a phone call. Here we have Paul. Go ahead, Paul. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with David Hall.
Yeah, I tell you, I don't know who hired that guy to be your boss, but they need to check in. They need to check up from the neck up like that guy does.
Hey, does anybody ever call you Froggy?
No.
They don't?
I tell you, man, you're a sincere need
of magic. Why am I in need of magic? I don't understand.
You need some very strong medication, because you're not right between the ears. Your brain's not functioning.
I'm telling him, well, sir, I know my business, and I'm telling you the way audiences are, whether it's TV or radio, as long as they're entertained, they don't care whether the guy they were listening to last night still has mobility or it has been decapitated by an airplane propeller.
Why do the same people keep tuning in to the same radio personalities night after night after night if their natural born abilities?
Because the guy's providing something they need. But what I'm saying is, if he died and I put a baboon in there that sounded just as good, you tune into the monkey.
Yeah, right. Yeah, like I said,
you would.
Medication.
Are you trying to tell me, sir, that you would not listen to a good radio show? If it was being conducted by a monkey, by an alien, by Phil Hendry, what do you care?
Sure, I would listen to any radio station.
There you go.
But that don't mean that I wouldn't care if Phil, or anybody else for that matter, maybe outside of you, was found it somewhere.
Well, there you go. See, now I've got you. Now you're speaking some truth, because you're feeling kind of bad that you said
no.
What you said. So you're saying, oh, well, but I really care about Phil. Yeah, sure.
No, I
can I say something here?
No, you can't. As long as they act like they got a little sense, but you talk like I don't know.
I'm
like
just saying, I gotta do what's good for. What's that? I gotta do what's good for business. You know.
Nope.
And
yeah, right. You deal in BS. Hey, you know why that is? Because you're full of it.
You're saying I'm full of BS when I say...
You're
what if I hired you? I'll tell you something right now. You're going to tell me I'm full of BS. I would hire you to do a show. I would call it the Froggy Frogerson Show.
Okay.
Now he's making fun of you, sir.
No, I am not making fun of him. I would like you, Phil, not to speak for me. I am not making fun of him. He is very, you're very opinionated. You've got a very compelling voice. You do. And I'm sure you've been told that. I would put you on the air for a couple hours a day doing opinions, do whatever you want to talk about.
Why would you call it the Froggy?
It wouldn't work.
Why would you call it the...
Why not? Why not?
Because I wouldn't hold my tongue back the way Phil has.
It would be fantastic. It would be great. I'd love that. I would put you on and I'd say, go ahead, say anything you want. I would have the dump button.
Oh, that's great. Tell him to say anything he wants. And
am I talking to you?
I just wanted to mention it.
I'm not even talking to this guy and he's butting in.
It's my radio show.
I would ask you to shut up, Phil. Now listen, sir, I don't know what you said your name. Phil said your name is Paul, right?
Right.
All right. You got a very compelling voice. You remind me of a Marine drill instructor that I had. I swear, you're not in the Marines, are you?
No.
Okay. There was a Marine drill instructor. There was a Marine drill instructor that I had that sounded exactly like you. I would put you on the air. I'd give you a couple of. I'd put you on a Phil slot. What do you think of that? Would you turn the job down?
Yes, I would. I'd go after him or before him. But
you wouldn't get. No, if I said the only slot I got is Phil's slot, Froggy. And
Froggy, see, you see the respect he has for you?
I'm telling you to shut up, Phil.
Well, I could call him names, too, but it's not fit for the air. But, like I said,
I would put you on the Phil Henry slot. I'd call it the Froggy Frogerson, you know, just for laughs.
Yeah, right. Well,
and you take the job. You would take the job. Anybody that's ever heard you probably...
We could call
anybody
you.
That's ever heard you probably ask you what... What's the number of your lily pad? So they can give you a call.
Oh, isn't that funny?
We could come and get you in a butterfly.
Yeah. That's right.
Guys in white coats and a butterfly.
That's right.
One.
Yeah. So they'll come to your lily pad, sir, but then they'll go with the same butterfly net and get David.
Again, has anybody been asking you your opinion at all?
No, nobody has.
Every time I said it.
I got to take a break here.
Yeah, take the break. Yeah. Thanks very much, Paul.
Hey, Phil.
It's good talking. Hey, Paul. No, you're talking to me, Paul. And
he's yes, sir.
Stay alive, Phil.
Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Have a good one.
But the minute, hey, I tell you what, Froggy, the minute I offer you a radio show, Phil Henry will be just another gnat on your windshield. How about that?
I don't appreciate being told to shut up.
Oh, well, excuse me. I didn't know that I offended your delicate feelings. I apologize.
I don't like the sarcasm, and I don't like being told to shut up on the air when I'm talking to my listeners.
You weren't talking to them. I was.
I'm directing the show.
You're still riding that horse, aren't you?
What horse?
You're still riding that horse, man. Still, you just want to flog that nag to the bitter end. That whole "they really care about me" horse. I'm telling you that this audience, if tomorrow you had a heart attack in a parking garage somewhere, say about the third level down, and no one found your body for a couple of days, they couldn't care less. You thank me. I'm the guy telling you the truth. Froggy Frogerson won't tell you the truth. I get that guy on the ear, though. I tell you what, he'd take your slot in a minute for the right money.
I wouldn't blame him.
Oh, yeah, right.
I wouldn't blame him at all. If you offered him enough money where he... Yeah, I wouldn't blame him for taking my... I would just like to tell you, Frog, I mean, Paul, there would be no hard feelings there, man, at all.
Oh, listen to you being magnanimous. Listen, pal, what should I call you, Froggy Senior? Go to a break.
You know...
Go to a break!
We'll take a break now. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is... 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back with David G. Hall and more of your phone calls.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Welcome back tonight. We have David G. Hall with us, our Vice President of Syndication. This was really just it was really the beginning of me talking, David. It was a rant that I played, you know.
Yeah, you played that rant, and you got me very concerned.
Well, the rant was me. I'd be happy to play it again.
No, don't play it again. Why would you play it again? You could say it again if you want. It was essentially devaluing the entire broadcasting industry, saying that everybody in the broadcasting industry was out to exploit and manipulate, and otherwise, you know, Phil, if we were in another business, if you and I were raised differently and we weren't broadcasters, we were standing around on a street corner smoking cigarettes and thinking about what liquor store we could knock over, I'd swear to God, you were talking about the broadcasting industry turning out its talent. And
I didn't say any, and for people that don't know what turning out means...
They know what it means.
No, they don't. It's what a pimp does with a whore, if you'll pardon the language. It's what a pimp does with a girl. Turns her into one.
Well, now, you really... Boy, I'll tell you, you don't care who you anger. You're
the guy that made the comparison, man. I didn't say anything about it.
You're talking about the broadcasting industry like it's a pimp with the pig...
No, I did not. That's unbelievable that you would even come to that conclusion. I never even made that. I simply said that, like a lot of industries, They don't value their talent.
Yeah, that was it. I heard what you said. They hate their talent. I heard that. I'll never forget that.
Oh, good. I hope you don't.
I will never forget that.
I hope you don't.
And I'll say it again, Phil. Well, you talking about the broadcasting industry wearing peg pants, a big white fedora, a big long chain, basically a zoot suit, and talent, they all look like one of the Andrews sisters, okay? You know where I'm going, right?
Yes, I know where you're going. Why don't you spit it out?
What?
A peg leg, a big long chain, a fedora, a zoot suit.
What seems to be your problem?
The problem, David, is that you're using comparisons that I don't think work. 877-876-PHIL. Let me go over here to Elizabeth. Hi, Elizabeth. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with David G. Hall. Go ahead, please.
Dave, I just want to let you know that you sound exactly like an executive, cold, callous, and cold. Well, cold, callous.
What's that been?
Crude.
A cold cow?
I'm not a regular.
I didn't understand.
I don't normally listen to Phil. But,
what is your? What did you just say? I didn't understand what you said, miss.
I said that he is cold, callous, and crude. And
three C's. The three C's.
I actually care what Phil got to say. So,
you don't have to say
Oprah,
that. You know and I know that you don't.
I like to hear what people's opinions, you know. The comment you made
right.
about Oprah... how does it explain why people tuned into her last episode if all they wanted to see was her breakdown? And
they wanted to see her. They wanted to see. It was their last chance to see her completely come apart at the seams and go, I don't want to put it this way. I don't want to see her do that, but I think people tuned in to see the woman lose her mind, come unhinged.
You think?
No, research shows.
Well, I don't know what
look,
you're talking about. I don't know what research you're talking about. But I know that
you're
if you
a fan
ever
of,
offered
you're
me
a fan
a
of
job,
Oprah Winfrey's, right?
I just know that if you ever offered me a job, there would be no way in hell that I'd take it because I see the way you treat your current employees. So
you're threatening his life.
Yes, you are. You're constantly I've been listening to this radio. You know, the broadcast,
yes.
since it started,
yes.
since you came on, you've been constantly
yes.
talking about nobody cares if you die, if someone puts you inside, puts you inside a lake.
I'm not threatening him. I'm just saying that no one cares whether Phil
had a heart attack and no one found him.
Right.
It sounds like
right.
threats to me.
I can't make him have a heart attack, miss. That's not a threat. That's just simply saying the reality.
Actually, there are ways you can make people have heart attacks, so.
Don't tell me, because that means you've been thinking about it. And I would have to say
well,
that.
Well, I haven't, but I know that if Phil ends up dying anytime soon, that we can record, there's going to be records of this show.
Well, let's just say this. You know that you don't care. You know that you, Elizabeth, don't care whether Phil lives or slowly rots. True?
Excellent. Well, if it comes by the hands of, some plot, I actually do, so. But natural
by
death?
By the hands of a what? Yeah, you don't care whether he dies or not.
If it comes by some plot to kill his life,
to kill his life.
I have a problem. Yes. To kill his life.
And suppose it was just a good old-fashioned stroke in the middle of a street as he was crossing the street.
It's natural death. That's what's going to happen to us all.
You don't care, right?
If it's natural death, I don't have a problem with it. But someone making a plot against
his
life.
At least you're honest. At least you were honest enough, Elizabeth, to say you don't care if Phil collapses in a street from a stroke with a trolley car coming at him.
Oh, would you come on? She didn't say that.
Yes, she did. She said
it's a natural death. I don't have a problem with that. We're all
right. That's what it is. Right. So if he collapsed from a stroke in the middle of a street in San Francisco with a cable car coming at him, it's fine with you.
If he collapsed
Correct.
From a stroke, then that's a natural death.
Exactly. And if he was accidentally run over by a cable car after he...
Why do you throw that in?
I want to know exactly if Elizabeth's telling me the truth.
It doesn't make any difference, Elizabeth. If I collapse from a stroke and then a cable car hits me afterwards, whatever. What do you mean cable car?
if you were in San Francisco.
Okay, yeah, if I was in San Francisco and I had a stroke crossing the street where a cable car track is and it ran me over, I guess that's really a drag, but I'm dead anyway, so what?
So you don't even care whether you live or die. And that's the point I was trying to make to Elizabeth. It's one thing for the audience not to hear. Phil doesn't care whether he lives or whether he dies. And
yes, I most certainly do, Elizabeth. I do.
I didn't get anything by that. I didn't pick that up.
Right, neither did I. I didn't pick up anything.
I'm picking it up. I've got a better receiver.
If he lives or dies.
Yeah. Phil doesn't care if he lives or dies, and you don't care if he lives or dies, so we're all agreed.
Explain to me how Phil doesn't care if he lives and dies. How you got that?
Because he just got done saying, it's okay, Elizabeth, if I died of a stroke in San Francisco in the middle of a cable car track and the cable car ran me over, it'd be okay. Wow. That's some guts.
Oh,
what
boy.
What I heard him say is he doesn't care if the cable car hits him. After he's dead.
Right.
That's what I heard.
Exactly. Right.
I didn't hear that he didn't care if he died. I heard that if he's dead.
No,
already,
what I heard. Well,
all right, thank you very much.
When the cable car hits him, he had a problem, yeah, but you didn't hear him say when the cable car hits him, right? He doesn't
care. I heard him say that if he's dead already from the stroke and a cable car hits him, he doesn't care. I didn't hear that he said.
Phil Hendry.
Right.